We're here with Joseph Ritchie, who recently wrote a Corp Watch feature about the privatization of the U.S.-Mexican border. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Sakura.
Okay, so first question I have for you is, you wrote this whole expose about the five major military contractors that are competing to design the U.S.-Mexican border. And I was just wondering, what do they have in mind?
Well, the company that'll be awarded this contract has to provide the right mix of infrastructure, personnel, technology, and rapid response. So each company is going to round up a team of companies that can provide each one of those. Some of the teams will be, you know, in the hundreds. They'll have subcontracting plans are pretty extensive. The companies view those plans as, you know, industrial secrets. They will show some of their team members publicly, but their full plan is theirs, and it's their property. The five are Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Ericsson, and Boeing. Only Lockheed Martin has withheld revealing any of its team so far. The mix, including the technology piece, I think is what a lot of folks are most interested in, because there's a lot of new gee whiz gizmos that can be deployed. The ground radar systems, for example. There have been ground radar detection devices for a long time, but previously their use on the border would sometimes result in the Border Patrol being led into a herd of deer or a pack of coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're sophisticated enough to tell the difference between hoofbeats and footsteps. So when Tio Enrique and his family are moving over the border, they might think they're scot-free when, uh-oh, here comes Border Patrol, and they were detected by a ground radar device. The other means of detection is from the air, and there's UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, that Northrop Grumman has a fleet of those they're going to be trying to sell. Lockheed Martin, of course, has the Lockheed Martin blimp that they have tested, apparently. I talked to a reporter recently, a Mexican reporter, who did a 1,000-mile trek along Route 2 along the border, and he described some conversations with Mexicans who have recognized this thing in the sky. And some of them were mistakenly thinking it was un ovni, or what in English, a UFO. But now it's referred to as the El Ovni Americano, or the American UFO up there. So the border will become the most high-tech and militarized border in the world, I believe, if this thing comes to bear in complete form.
And you also discussed a plan to deport and, you know, perhaps incarcerate people within a certain mileage of the border. What types of plans do they have in store for that?
Well, there's an expedited removal program that Customs and Border Protection has. They right now have the right to anyone apprehended within 100 miles of the border, within 14 days of their date of entry, can be expedited, and that means they just don't get to see a federal immigration judge. Michael Chertoff, the director of Homeland Security, will say, you know, they do have the legal right to extend that time period up to a year, and they're only using 14 days. So they'll claim this has, you know, this humanitarian feature. They're just using that 14-day window to be able to expedite. But with the increased detection and apprehension along the border, they do expect to have to move a lot more bodies quickly. They'll have to put them up and provide food and shelter for a brief period. They want that turnaround time to be as quick as possible. Nevertheless, the amount of detention bed space along the border is increasing enormously now. I mean, for this story, I also tracked the contracts coming out of Department of Homeland Security, and the growth in private prison space along the border, especially in Texas, is enormous. And it's a high profit yield industry. Last year, I visited a county jail in New Jersey that was housing up to 100 immigrants at a time. They were getting $82 a head per day from DHS for detaining these folks. This year, Correction Corporation of America was awarded a contract in Taylor, Texas, for a 600-bed facility. They're billing DHS $176 a head per day. So they've doubled their take. I haven't unfolded that figure to know what's that really made of, but I did speak to one of the county commissioners down there and asked him, you know, what he thought of the fact that the company is pulling $176 a day and the county was getting back a dollar a day per head in a bed there. His response was, well, I don't care how Correction Corporation of America makes their money. I just know down here in Taylor, Texas, this is a great program. We'll get 200 jobs. Everyone will be buying gasoline and coffee and donuts. And we need that kind of economic development down here in Taylor. We're a little bit off the interstate. And so this is what becomes, you know, a driving force in their local economy. You know, the overriding concern there is, are we not just creating full employment for the most repressive and maybe totalitarian elements of our economy? And is that the direction we want to take our country? I don't think that occurs to many people in Taylor.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned other consequences of the privatization of these industries. Would you mind going into that a bit?
Well, the Secure Border Initiative that was announced back in November of last year is just one example of a number of outsourcing initiatives that the Bush administration has put forward. This one, because of the nature of the work, for one, I mean, there are some functions of government that are inherently functions of government. Defending the border is one that should be a function of government. But when a former vice president of Lockheed Martin, who is now the deputy director of Homeland Security, gets up in front of 400 industry experts at an industry day back in January and says, we want you to tell us how to run our business. We want you to tell us how to do this. Ceding that kind of control is alarming. The danger here, of course, is that when the profit margins of companies begin driving policy. An example might be, you know, one of the subcontractors, say it's Wheatland Tube Company, a company purchased last year by the Carlyle Group. They have a lot of excess stock in their warehouse. They decide, well, let's move that fence up now. Our legislators will have no say in where that fence gets put up, or when, or anything. There are some environmentally sensitive areas along the border where a fence is really going to have an environmental impact. The locals will have to try to fend that off, but the company will be wielding much more power in these matters than I think the American people want to concede.
And are there transparency issues associated with the privatization of these functions?
Well, one of the obstacles in covering this story, I mean, my first line of attack was to just talk directly to Department of Homeland Security people and Customs and Border Protection. And it was hit or miss. There were people who were very forthcoming about the plan and enthusiastic about it. But eventually I would run into this thing where, that's a national security question. We can't reveal that. And one of the things I wanted to create was sort of a map of the border and find out where funding was going to each sector. How much is going to the Yuma sector? How much is going to the Tucson sector, et cetera? And I was told that question is dealing with operational matters, and it can't be revealed. You would have to file a Freedom of Information Act request, and unlikely you'll get it, because if that information gets into the wrong hands, it would be used against us. So the next tact was to go right to the companies themselves, not solely the Big Five who submitted formal bids back on May 30th, but even some of the team members. And there you run into some companies were very, again, very forthcoming, proud of their new ground radar device, hopeful they can move it. Yes, we are the company best suited for putting in an environmental sensitive areas, our ground radar equipment, et cetera. And then other companies would say, those are industrial secrets. We can't reveal what our plan is for each sector. So just knowing what is in store in the border is a bit of a mystery still. The award date is not till September 30th. We may know more then, but they have no obligation to tell the American public how their border will be protected. That information is proprietary to the company. They'll claim that they don't want their competitors to know how they plan on defending the border.
Do you know how much this entire program is going to cost in defending the border?
Estimated, it's $2.5 billion has been cited, but this is what's called a sole source indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, IDIQ. So it's meant to be long-term, and the Department of Homeland Security, to their credit, I think, is trying to build in some safeguards against the kind of waste, fraud, and abuse that happened with Iraq and Afghanistan and Katrina contracting, where there was, emergency contingency contracts being, pouring out of the Pentagon and the Army Corps of Engineers. This time, for one, they're trying to diversify the subcontracting plans so that if one company, say it's Lockheed Martin, wins this award, they devise a subcontracting plan. 38% of the subcontractors will have to be small businesses, minority-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, disabled-owned businesses. And I think that's a good thing. They have to go out of their way then to find local companies who can, put up fencing, put up vehicle barriers, and do the work. They also have a safeguard now where, unlike at Katrina, these subcontractors will, have their labor costs up front, and the percentage of markup that the general contractor is going to be asking also will be up front and will not have to, well, it won't be able to change. Still, there's a fair amount of, this is a real insider game. The companies that are involved have been around the block with government contracts for a long time. They know how to work the system. Last month, I attended the Investigative Reporters and Editors Conference down in Fort Worth, Texas, and Robert O'Hara from the Washington Post, who's been covering the Homeland Security contracting for a year or two, he'll say up front that unstated among company insiders is if the contract is for $2.5 billion, if you're in charge of running that contract and you come in at cost, at $2.5 billion, you'll lose your job. Your job is to market up and bilk the government for double, triple sometimes, the original maximum cost. Whether the government can come back and start demanding its money back when there are cost overruns or unexplained costs, the government has shown to have a poor track record there. I mean, the recent Halliburton revelation when they had to pay back a minuscule amount of the money they marked up for prosecuting the war in Iraq. The government seems to be weaker than these large companies right now. And, you know, the other factor in this right now is the revolving door between Department of Homeland Security and the security industries. When our Deputy Director of Homeland Security is a former Vice President of Lockheed, you know, that not a good sign. When when there's nearly 100 former Homeland Security executives who've moved out of government and right into private sector where they know they can double, triple their salaries, not a good sign. There's now seemingly this invisible veil between the private sector and our government. We don't get good value on our tax dollar when so many inherently government functions are privatized. I mean, right now I know George Bush was saying they wanted to get 6,000 National Guard to come down to the border. He put out the solicitation. I think he's only mustered up about 1,000 or maybe 1,500 by now. The governors of various states are hesitant to relinquish their guard, some of whom were already commissioned to Iraq. In fact, when you do send the guard to do this job, taxpayers pay less. If you have Dynacorp agents serving as Border Patrol, their hourly wage can be double, triple what a National Guardsman will get. Just on the economic issue alone, Americans need to be wary of the amount of privatization going on.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on our show today.